So today is the Tiro Bhav, the disappearance day of Srila Prakriti Bhakti Saranga Goswami Maharaj, the preeminent disciple, dear disciple of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, intimate friend of Srila Guru Maharaj, and Srila Swami Maharaj Prabhupada, revered throughout Sri Gaudiya Math, legendary disciple, his math when we visit Vrindavan, go on Dham Parikrama, just around the corner from our math, Imlitala, temple is there, commemorating where Imli means tamarind tree, where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sat beneath the tamarind tree, taking Krishna Nam, lost in divine remembrance. He erected a temple on that spot also. In Nandagram, he had something there, because Babaji Maharaj used to visit there and stay there. I don't know if that was permanent or not. And the Nandan Acharya Bhavan, his temple is there in Mayapur. Srila Guru Maharaj arranged for that, for him. And he was the first sannyas disciple of Srila Guru Maharaj. With regard to that, in the aftermath of the disappearance of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Sri Gaudiya Math, as happened, some devotees are, how do the Bengalis put it, returning to their house. It's like where their village, where they're from, etc. And there was some lamentation on the part of Srila Guru Maharaj and other devotees that one of the finest preachers of Gaudiya Math, much beloved by Saraswati Thakur, revered by all the devotees, that he would return to his house. This was a loss for everyone. And Guru Maharaj went there with the specific intention of giving him sannyas. And coming from Guru Maharaj, that's really something, because usually Guru Maharaj is going in the other direction of cautious and restraint. And in the case of Srila Swami Maharaj Prabhupada, I know his family very well, they might be upset with me, and many considerations he is giving. And we know in time, in history, rarely giving sannyas until the all-merciful Srila Bhakti Sundar Govindadeva Goswami Maharaj convinced Guru Maharaj to extend this to others from the Western, myself included. That was all the mercy, really, of Guru Maharaj, but of Srila Gurudev insisting and for preaching. That was the reason. And that's why Guru Maharaj consented, because he could see, if this means the expansion of the Krishna consciousness movement and the glories of Sri Chaitanya Saraswat Mat, then by all means. With that said, Bhakti Saranga Goswami Maharaj is the first sannyas disciple of Srila Guru Maharaj. And Guru Maharaj went to his town, to his hometown, and stayed there for approximately 12 days, 2 weeks, with the expressed intention of giving him sannyas, not coming away till this was achieved. Part of Guru Maharaj's thinking was that in the lifetime of Srila Saraswati Thakur, Goswami Maharaj was such a prominent disciple, and he was also given Ritvik approval when he went to England. as the first venture there, not showing so much success. Later it was determined that actually Saraswati Thakur wanted Srila Guru Maharaj to go next. And Guru Maharaj is, as he always says, a backward pushing man, and presented himself as perhaps unfit, in the sense that saying there must be some intention and a target, something you want to achieve by who you send there. Meaning connecting with others, extending Krishna consciousness to them. And he said, in this regard, I have two disqualifications. One is I'm not inclined to mix with others. And we know that from what we could observe also, growers on his veranda and rarely coming down. But the other, he said, was the intonation. Although Guru Maharaj, and this is peculiar because Guru Maharaj is quite fluent in English. We learn so much English from Guru Maharaj, from listening to him. Our vocabulary became more extensive. The use, just his use of English is fluent. He said, but their intonation I can't catch, meaning he can't always hear and grasp what is being said. Like we know also amongst our Russian devotees, there are many who, in some instances, their reading skills and comprehension exceed their conversational English, and some the opposite. All kinds of things are possible like that. So Guru Maharaj said, in consideration of these things, I may not be the fittest person. Sometimes, and some devotees came to Guru Maharaj and said, like, don't you want to be the one? You know, this will be so, praiseworthy and laudable. Who goes to the Western world, this, you know, will be something for, you know, their portfolio or their resume or... And Guru Maharaj said, no such interest do I have. He said, my only interest is becoming the servant of a servant of Mahaprabhu. Can you help me do that? I have no other interest. But then someone else came to Guru Maharaj and said, but do you know why Saraswati Thakur wants you to go? And Guru Maharaj said, no. He said, because... Prabhupada Saraswati Thakur said, because he can't be converted, like by the opposition or Western philosophical systems, etc. And when Guru Maharaj heard this, he said, that's true. So then Saraswati Thakur told, he considered Srila Bhakti Daita Madhav Maharaj for some time, but I had the good fortune of meeting him twice, and I can understand what we heard from those in Gaudiya, that Madhava Maharaj was a very handsome gentleman. Perfect, beautiful, angelic-looking gentleman, but very handsome. And someone said, and the women of England, they're like apsaras. And so they thought, maybe he won't be the best choice to send on this mission. They don't want it to be a suicide mission. So then Goswami Maharaj at the time was a householder, a Prakrita Prabhu. And his Nityananda Bhangsha lineage and other things, they thought, he's Bandyopadhyay, Banerjee is the name, Brahmin, qualified in every way imaginable. So he was selected. And there, one lady, a Mrs. Boughton, she was converted, he initiated her, she got the name. Vinodvani. And there was a little Gaudiya Math established in London. And there's a pastime of Goswami Maharaj, I think, when he had nothing, facing practically starvation, totally impoverished, nowhere to go. In a park, he finds a deity, of which turns out to be Ananta Vasudev. And his fortune changes. And you've seen, there's some pictures of him, you see, in like waiting to meet like the King and Queen of England. He did, it could be one of those photo op sort of things, but wherever there was an opportunity, he was there. We're told Saraswati Thakur used to keep a map of England and London particularly, and wherever there was an event, he put a pin. Like the way the military strategists say, like, you know, our troops went here and there, and that way he was obsessed with preaching in the Western world, and particularly London. And on the basis of Saraswati Thakur's desire that Guru Maharaj go there and preach, years later, when Guru Maharaj really told us, whenever we tried to do something promoting him or the Chaitanya Saraswat Math at the time, he preferred we modify that somewhat. And Gurudev followed that in principle for many places. But he was reluctant to name any place other than the Navadvip Math, Sri Chaitanya Saraswat Math. But in the case of London, he was initially reluctant, but Srila Gurudev said to him that Saraswati Thakur wanted you to preach in the Western world, particularly to go to London. So in deference and recognition of that desire of Srila Saraswati Thakur, if you will sanction that London Math will be Sri Chaitanya Saraswat Math. And with that in mind, Srila Guru Maharaj sanctioned that. So it's the London Math has a unique position in the time of Srila Guru Maharaj. And, Goswami Maharaj, Bhakti Saranga Goswami Maharaj, when he was there, we're told he met with Lord Zetland, I believe is the English pronunciation, the Bengali pronunciation is Jetland, as one could imagine. And he had been stationed in India as a viceroy or something, you know, high posting, and he had great appreciation for Indian culture and Gaudiya Math in particular. Specifically, Srila Saraswati Thakur and his followers, he once observed about them. He said he felt he was in the, it was like when he saw Saraswati Thakur and his entourage of sannyasis, he said it was like seeing Jesus Christ and the 12 apostles. And he meant that, like, from his heart. He felt that magnitude. And he is the one who, when Goswami Maharaj was in England, visiting with him, said, Swamiji, you know, Goswami, because he was still Goswami, Goswamiji, can you make me a Brahmin? As we hear, and the teachings of Mahaprabhu to the Goswamis and Sanatana Goswami Prabhu, the yata kanchanam jati kangshena vidanata, etc. sloka, where he said, just as bell, there's a process, an alchemical process, by which bell metal can be converted into gold. So this process, Krishna consciousness, can transform one into Brahman and beyond Brahman, Vaishnav. But he asked, can you make me a Brahman? Can I become a Brahman? And Goswami Maharaj said, yes. But you'll have to follow four principles. No illicit sex, no intoxication, no meat eating, no gambling. And we're told Lord Zetland said, impossible. So much so, in those meetings with British officials in India, the so-called Raj, Saraswati Thakur, through his disciples and, you know, local connections. They're arranging for the necessity of their visitors, which may not be of the, you know, 100% pure veg category, and other things. They don't want, Saraswati Thakur did not want them to experience some sort of inconvenience. Remember, he's the revolutionary preacher, really, of Sri Gaudiya Math. And if these kind of exemptions, circumstantial exemptions, come from Srila Saraswati Thakur, then he has the stature, substance, credentials, Vaishnavata, to voice these sort of extraordinary concessions. As when he told Guru Maharaj once, I'm conceiving in London a youth hostel that we can arrange through a local hotel, which is the Indian word for restaurant, to accommodate non-vegetarian section. And when Guru Maharaj heard that, he's a Bhattacharya Brahmin. And besides that, he's Guru Maharaj. And Guru Maharaj thought, he was shocked. He said, I think the end result of this policy will, our members may get, contaminated, may introduce contamination in the mat. He said, Saraswati Thakur said, oh, you don't know. I decided this 10,000 years ago. And Guru Maharaj said, it was like lightning striking him. Not a whimsical proposal, not something that came to him whimsically. He said, I decided this 10,000 years ago. So when we think of the revolutionary preaching of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and to this day, the whole worldwide Krishna consciousness movement is an offspring of his conception. And this is what, 2017? So it's approximately 1917 and onward that he began took sannyas and began the missionary activities of Sri Gaudiya Math. So 100 years later, it's still all about Srila Saraswati Thakur and his followers. Even the so-called opposition, or those who have deviated, they had connection. So even they indirectly indicate the substance of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And we see that personified in his followers. So Saraswati Thakur had so much faith in him and appreciation. So Guru Maharaj went to his hometown, his village, staying there, preaching to him for this fortnight. And he had one disciple. This Guru Maharaj, we know, he was hesitating to initiate, even Srila Prabhupada's sister, Bhava Tarini Didi, affectionately known as Pishima, she had first initiation, Harinam, from Srila Saraswati Thakur. She wanted to take Mantra Dika from Guru Maharaj, second initiation. Guru Maharaj directed her to the Goswami Maharaj, saying, well, Saraswati Thakur approved him, and that is safe. And we're told also that, and I've seen also, she loved to cook. Once I had the honor, privilege of escorting her from Calcutta to Vrindavan on one of these never-ending train rides. And there was one girl, Narayani, with her, and Satya Narayana, devotee, with me. We're in two different compartments. But she kept sending Narayani with, like, every 2 hours or so, snacks for us that she'd made. And she had all of these net bags, and they were just filled with pots, condiments, cooking utensils. That was the major part of her luggage, were just cooking utensils. It was like something out of the pages of Chaitanya Charitamritam, one of these great Vaishnavis. And she was going to Vrindavan, where Srila Prabhupada was at the time. And what was I going to? Oh, so she specialized in, you know, cooking all of these wonderful different types of prasadam. And she would make them for Goswami Maharaj and regularly, but particularly Vyas Puja, and offer them all. And his habit was to take all of them and mix them all together and then take it like that. And Gurudev, Srila Govinda Maharaj, said, then Pishima would be like rolling her eyes, and, oh no. Because sometimes the devotees think like that. They want to check the enjoying tendency. Prasadam is not to be enjoyed, but honored. So sometimes they're thinking like as an act of renunciation on some level. It's I'll take this way, but Gurudev said Pishima would be, oh no, and like mixing every... And so he had a disciple or someone approaching for initiation who became his disciple. His name was Vishnu Jana. And Guru Maharaj conveyed to him, and he appreciated the concept. He's saying, this boy, Vishnu Jana, he's giving up the world for you. So Goswami Maharaj thought, then I must give up the world for him. How can I remain? He's talking about family. How can I? He's giving up the world for me. Then I must give up the world for him. And so Guru Maharaj gave him sannyas, and Goswami Maharaj teased mildly. He said, the disciple, Vishnu Jana, the disciple is given sannyas to his guru. And we know he was a very intense preacher, would not leave someone unless they gave a donation, and operated under the principle that he's not begging, like trying to get help from them. He's offering them sukriti. He's offering them, and if you can understand this properly philosophically, it's a fact. You have a chance to take some of your accumulated energy and offer it in service to the lotus feet of Srila Saraswati Thakur and his mission. What an opportunity has come before you. Really, truly, he felt that way. Not that I'm trying to get something from you and you're helping me. But sometimes we're told, in one instance, someone wouldn't give anything, but they had some broken mridangas. He said, then you can give that. They gave that. He then sold the broken mridangas, converted it into cash, thereby giving some sukriti to that individual. Another time, someone was a little upset with him, and they were saying, like, I'll pay you to go. Tell me how much I have to give you to go. Here's a rupee. Just leave. And Goswami Maharaj said, a man as sinful as you, one rupee is not enough. Rather, a lakh of rupees you must give. It's 100,000. One rupee will be insufficient for a sinner like you. And also we're told on the Brihaspati Barbella, to be careful, one may incur financial loss at that time. So Goswami Maharaj would collect at that time, knowing that others may incur financial loss. Many things. And one story Gurudev told where there was a Rani, means a queen, and she was very favorably disposed to the devotees, but the king did not approve so much or was not so much appreciative. And still, she wanted to somehow contribute, but it was a very delicate situation. So Goswami Maharaj and his assistant went to that kingdom. They still had little kingdoms in India. And he was staying at some accommodations nearby. And the Rani, the queen, sent her representative to ask him if all of his necessities were being met, lodging, food, etc. And this shows the brilliance of Goswami Maharaj. He said, you can tell the queen by, you know, her grace, we have everything we need. There's only one thing I need. There's no pillow. And he gave a pillowcase, a pillow I could use. And so they went back to the queen and said, he has everything, but he said, no pillow he has. And then the queen stuffed the pillowcase with rupees and gave him that pillow. And there was a preaching party composed of Goswami Maharaj, Madhava Maharaj, Guru Maharaj, and Srila Saraswati Thakur used to call it my party. That gave great joy to them and enthusiasm. He referred to their party. That's my party. There are other parties, but this is my party. And we know sometimes they also did program with Swami Maharaj in Bombay. Imagine, he invites over to his house Srila Sridhar Maharaj, Srila Madhava Maharaj, Srila Goswami Maharaj. And he said, Prabhupada telling of such a story, he said, how did he say? Sridhar Maharaj would speak, Madhava Maharaj would canvass, and Goswami Maharaj would collect. And it is to him, when Srila Saraswati Thakur was going through Gaudiya Math and he came upon this writing, the Bhakti Vinod Virahadasaka Dvadashakam of Srila Guru Maharaj. And he's reading that. And with particularly read the line, Sri Gauranumatam Swarupa Viditam Rupa Grajanadritam Rupadye Paribeshitam Ragu Gunaya Swajitam Shevitam Jivadyay Abhirakshitam Shuka Shiva Brahma Samanitam Sri Radha Padasevanamritam Aho Tadatumisho Vavan. Where Guru Maharaj is saying, who is Mahaprabhu and why he came down? Only Srup Damodar knows it fully. And that's what will be expressed in the chapter 4 of the Chaitanya Charitamritam. Kaviraj Goswami, referencing Srup Damodar's slokas, will reveal the internal reason for Mahaprabhu's descent. And saying, only Srup Damodar knows this fully. We hear that in Chaitanya Charitamritam. If anyone knows substantially who Mahaprabhu is and why he descended in this world, what his inner purpose is, he must have heard it from Srup Damodar, Mahaprabhu Dutiya Kalevar, Mahaprabhu the second, Mahaprabhu's other self, Mahaprabhu's second body. That is Srup Damodar. Srup Damodar knows, and what that is worshipped by Srila Sanatana Goswami Prabhu, expressed by Rupa Goswami and his followers in the Bhakti Rasa Shastras, tasted, relished by Raghunath, Srup's extending to Raghunath Das, he's relishing that, and in the process, transferring to Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, who's also relishing that, and extending through Chaitanya Charitamritam, Jiva Goswami protecting that as Baladev Bidyabhushan from adulteration, imitation, from those who would challenge its authenticity. and saying Brahma, Shiva, Sukha, Narad, Uddhav, they all want a drop of this divine substance. What is it? Sri Radha Parasevanamritamaho Tadatamisho Bhavan. The gift of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur to the world is the service of the holy lotus feet of Srimati Radharani in the form of the Krishna consciousness movement. And it was that to Goswami Maharaj that Srila Saraswati Thakur said, who wrote this? And he said, Sridhar Maharaj. He said, Sridhar Maharaj has not written this. Bhaktivinoda Thakur has written this through him. And although I may leave the world, at least one man remains behind who can represent me fully, properly. And that man is Sridhar Maharaj. It was Goswami Maharaj. Srila Saraswati Thakur told this too. And that Goswami Maharaj, when he is Nityananda Bangsha, that line, the family line that comes from Nityananda Prabhu, but known as Jata Goshai, they are considered Sahajya Sampradaya, according to the analysis of Totaram Babaji and accepted by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Saraswati Thakur line. That's why Saraswati Thakur told Aprakrita. Prakrita means mundane. He's saying, but he, Aprakrita, he's a substantial person in that line. So he was revered by many on account of that status. And in one instance, someone from that group, they expressed to him some displeasure at seeing in the Gaudiya Math publication of the Srimad Bhagavatam, they had included a picture of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And they said, the Bhagavatam should be considered the body of Krishna. So how can you put someone's picture there? And Goswami Maharaj told me, he said, you know who I am? Alluding to his Nityananda Vangsha connection. And yes, Goshai. He said more that I can't, I mean, Gurudev told me, and I can't say it. But say to underscore his position even in a greater degree. By how much of him that person would revere. And the person said, yes, your totally worshipable personality in every way imaginable. And Goswami said, my head is sold to the lotus feet of this Vaishnava, Prabhupada, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And don't you know, Guru is to be considered Radharani's delegation. So taking that Guru is Radharani's delegation and Bhagavatam is the body of Krishna, if we put the picture there, then how happy Krishna will be. Yes, Goshai. And he had great appreciation for Srila Gurudev, Srila Govinda Maharaj, who there's a picture, famous picture of Srila Saraswati Thakur meeting with Governor John Anderson, the governor of West Bengal at the time, or Bengal. Bengal, I imagine. Yeah, it was not wet, just Bengal. And you see Saraswati Thakur has a garland, Governor John Anderson, but Goswami Maharaj is prominently seen there, but no garland. And Srila Govinda Maharaj said, I know why you have no garland. And Goswami Maharaj said, no, everyone who should have a garland, has a garland. Saraswati Thakur, Governor John Anderson, all the dignity, what does Gurudev call them? Dignitary. They all have. And Governor, no, he said, you should have a garland because you are also such a dignitarian. But the garland man, perhaps He came late. They only had two. You were certainly given a garland, but you took your garland and gave it to Governor John Anderson. And that's when Goswami Maharaj said, you have surpassed Vishwanath Chakrabarty. Because Vishwanath Chakrabarty Thakur, his specialty is reading in the pastimes of Krishna, like why jasmine is blooming and the sun in the eastern horizon, what's the significance of, or western horizon, you know, why, all these sort of things. He, what appear to be, or not apparent, these little details, he extracts so much meaning from them. So he said, you have surpassed Vishwanath Chakrabarty Thakur. And Guru Maharaj told also once at the Imlitala, they're praising one god brother on his appearance name, but Goswami Maharaj was speaking in double entendre. The glorification he was giving could be interpreted two ways. One way, total glorification, another way, not so much. And he said that Maharaj kept looking at Srila Govinda Maharaj, thinking like, most people won't get this, but I'll see if he's getting it. And he was astonished to see, yes, Govinda Maharaj was obviously understanding both meanings. So he was very favorite, Gurudev was very favorite to him. He would take him, when Guru Maharaj was not so mobile anymore, he would take him on preaching engagements and be his brahmachari assistant. He, in the final days when he wouldn't speak to anyone, he just became silent, other than reading the Bhagavatam, taking Krishna Nam. When Guru Maharaj sent Gurudev to him, Srila Govinda Maharaj, he spoke to. And we know the Gurudev knew him so well that on the way to his Vyas Puja once, or holiday, and the disciples picked him up. They're taking him to Goswami Maharaj's mat. And he saw it was getting ready to rain. And Srila Govinda Maharaj said to them, do you know what your Gurudev will lecture on today? And they're saying, of course not. How can we know what he will say? And his divine personality, some inspiration will come to him. And Govinda Maharaj said, but I know what he will say. And they're saying, what? How can you say that? It's so arrogant. And you're just a young man. And he told them this verse. What is it? Tadurinam manye, etc. Huh? Yeah. Beautiful. And what it says is that normally people judge a good day or a bad day, like if the sun is shining, they say, it was a really nice day, it's going to be a nice day. And if it rains, they think, oh, it was a bad day, the weather was bad. They're basing their assessment in that way. He said, but for Vaishnava, they say, did I hear any Harikatha, any Krishna Katha, any Gaur Katha, Vaishnava Katha? Did I hear that during my day? If, regardless of the weather conditions, if I heard some Krishna Katha, that was a good day. And if it was a beautiful day externally, but I heard nothing about Guru and Gauranga and the Vaishnavas, then that was not a good day for me. And as it began to rain and they went there, of course, that is the sloka that Goswami Maharaj spoke on. And he so much revered Srila Guru Maharaj when he would visit. He would consider that his annual visit with Guru Maharaj, staying in his mat, was like his ontological adjustment. And as he would go away, he invoked the Simhavaloka concept that, you know, a lion moves a certain amount and then looks back and moves some more and then looks back. And so we go back to our own world, but we look back to Guru Maharaj to see, are we still aligned with him? And in alignment with Guru Maharaj's concept of things, and on his Vyas Puja, he would always invite Srila Guru Maharaj, as he was invited by Guru Maharaj every year to the Chaitanya Saraswat Math. They would have a meeting, they revived the Vishwa Vaishnav Raja Sabha, and they would meet, and every year Guru Maharaj would be elected the president of the assembly. Guru Maharaj would accept the presidency and then transfer it to Goswami Maharaj. And he would conduct the meeting where they're praising the activities of the Vaishnavas in the last year and showing some areas where they could improve. And during at his Vyas Puja, when people give so many gifts and pranami donations, at the end he would take all of that and give it to Guru Maharaj, who was, you know, had come to celebrate his appearance day. And we're told in the final days, when Guru Maharaj really could not attend, people would say to him, "Oh, how was your Vyas Puja this year?" He said, "This year was not so good." "Really? Why? What happened?" "Sridhar Maharaj could not come." So, Hare Krishna, Jai Srila Bhakti, Saranga Goswami Maharaj, Tirubhav Mahamahotavati Ti Ki Jai. Hare Krishna. Is there anything else that I may not have mentioned?
Oh, about the
baptism. Yeah. Also, one thing that came up, he had a society, and they had so much appreciation for Srila Prabhupada, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. And see how Prabhupada is influenced by him. He's using A.B. Goswami Prabhupada, but it's A.C. Bhaktivedanta. As they're taking some lead of Goswami Maharaj, but anyway, they wanted to confer a title upon Srila Swami Maharaj. So a society, they gave him the name Bhakti Siddhanta Das Adhikari. Right? So when that came to be, it's interesting how these things happen. They're not accidental. So they confer that name. And it's mentioned to Guru Maharaj, and Guru Maharaj said, that, you know, is our Guru Maharaj's name and title. What would be better is if you give him the title Bhakti Vedanta. And they say, "Oh, all right, yes, then that we will give." So even that name that's world renowned, Bhakti, A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Swami, Guru Maharaj's suggestion, Bhakti Vedanta will be ideal. Hare Krishna. Is there any question?
Maharaj, there is a question from Mahavira Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
Referring to Chaitanya Charitamrita. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, Antya Lila, chapter 1, verse 99, Rupa Goswami's verse beginning with Tunde Tandavini Ratim, the second line expresses the desire to have unlimited sense perception for hearing the holy name, Karnar Budetya Spriham. Whereas the third line suggests the cessation of all sensual activity, Vijayate Servendriyanam Kritim. Could you please share some insight on what appears to be paradox?
This is something that recurs consistently when we hear statements of the scriptures or from the great devotees, that on the one hand, and it's what people have a tendency to latch on to immediately, is the disengagement part. Being restricted from sense activity or giving up all sense engagement and such things. Unfortunately, in the case of Brahmavadis and Mayavadis, they interpret this as there is no opportunity for such activities and with positive engagement. There's one thing, withdrawing from the influence of the negative plane, or in this context, negative sense perception. I mentioned the other day the term super sensuous. That means beyond the sensual reins of the mind, ear, eye, nose, etc. People prematurely or falsely conclude that means no seeing, hearing, tasting, touching, smelling, feeling of any quality or any type. So Rupa Goswami, speaking of Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur and his parsing of the first sloka of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Prabhupada said, because adi rasa, he extracts from janmad yasya yataha, adi rasa, mukya rasa, means madura rasa. Prabhupada mentions there, quoting Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur, saying that because Mayavadis deny this possibility or prospect of sensuality in this spiritual domain, he said they're indirectly giving impetus for mundane sensuality. Because as Srila Saraswati Thakur says, and is given by Sanyan, the erotic principle in unalloyed devotion, he said, we can no more, divorce the sexual principle from our existence than our existence. It's that intrinsic to existence. And I mentioned in a simple way, here we hear the tokay lizard going around with its mating call, particularly now. And all of this animation, what's driving it? Freud perceived that, maybe an overarching theory, but that's oddly consistent in its own way with what we hear in Krishna conception, if we go to adi rasa, mukya rasa, madura rasa, being the origin of all of this. He's saying the sexual principle is everywhere. He goes so far as to say, in other words, the driving principle of existence, so much so, and he's an extremist, but he is Freud after all, he will say that if all of this art, in the form artistic expression, is just repressed sexuality. It's nothing more than that. This principle is that, what's the word, ubiquitous, that even all this so-called art that you think is one of the finer creations, it's the creative principle, it's repressed sexuality. So in an oddly similar way, Prabhupada saying, quoting Vishwanath Chakrabarti, Mayavadis, by denying the possibility of personality, sensual expression, in the positive spiritual domain, they're indirectly giving impetus for mundane sensuality. Because we're so hardwired for that, we'll conclude there's no other outlet than the mundane world. So he says indirectly they're giving impetus to that. So Rupa Goswami, there's a talk, Sri Krishna Namadi, Nabhavyed Grisham Indre, that it's very perfect, powerful sloka, saying the name of Krishna, Namadi, nama, rupa, guna, lila. The sound, form, qualities, pastimes. Namadi, takshri krishna namadi, nabhavyed grahyam indriye, are beyond the grasp of the senses. But I introduce this word in this context. There's what he means to say is they're super sensuous. He doesn't mean to say there's nothing to see here, nothing to hear, nothing to taste, no aroma, no touch. That's not what he's saying. He's saying it's beyond the range of mundane sensual capacity. It's beyond the range of what the eye, ear, nose, tongue, etc. can touch or verify. But that doesn't mean it cannot be seen, heard, qualified, and entered into. So the second half comes. Nindriye takshri krishna namadi nabhavye grahyam indriye sevan mukhe hijavaro shayam eva spuratida. But if one becomes sevan mukata, infused with the seva current, just as electricity brings illumination in this apparatus, the shell is not the substantial thing, as we told yesterday with Prahlad. Nate vitu swartagatim vishnu durasaye ye here bahir artamanina. What's giving illumination is the current. So he's saying, when you have the devotional current, that eye can see, that ear can hear, that tongue can taste, that nose can smell, can touch. Premanjana charita bhakti vilochanena santaksadeva hridayeshu vilokayanti. And Brahma Sangha is not saying that pure devotees see the Paramatma in their heart. No, that's the target of the yogis, Paramatma yogis. Saying, what do the pure devotees see in their heart? Yung Shama Sundaram, Shama Sundar Krishna, and what? Achintya Guna Swarup. He has an inconceivable, beautiful form. The qualities of that, and when someone says, like, why is Krishna blue? Or, it says, Achintya Guna. It's not the blue that you can conceive. An inconceivable blue, sham, blackish color. So, when the senses are infused with this current, then what Rupa Goswami is expressing there is possible. And that means adhoksaja, realm. Aksaja means the, what is seen. But it means all the senses. Perception is the word. And I told recently, what was it? The Greek, and I think it's similar to the Russian, aesthetic, right? Which on one hand means like beauty and aesthetic culture, but actually literally it means what is perceptible to the senses, what can be perceived. Guru Maharaj said, reality, the beautiful. Krishna can be perceived by the senses that are infused with devotion, can be seen, heard, tasted, touched, felt, smelled, all of that. Full sensual engagement is possible with Krishna. And Rupa, so we think, well, that must be wonderful. How wonderful? Just the possibility is wonderful, but Rupa Goswami is telling us to what degree it's wonderful. Oh, when I say adhoksaja, so it means that's the sarvendriyana, the suppression of the senses allows for hyper or super sensuality. Suppression of these senses, adha aksaja, what we see, hear, taste, now, that is suppressed. And what? Then nothing or a light or a voice? No. Then super sensual, seeing, hearing, tasting, touching, smelling. to what degree? That just in and of itself sounds like something worth pursuing and of interest, right? But Rupa Goswami, in this poetic expression, he's talking about magnitude of beauty. Right? So what is he saying? Yes, when these senses are suppressed, not by what? Like by performing austerities? No. When Krishna decides to come down in response to devotional heart expression, that's when these senses are suppressed, mundane sensual experience, and there's a touch of the divine. But what Rupa Goswami is saying, then under those circumstances, when mundane sensuality is suppressed and genuine hyper super sensuality descends, the tongue will find the holy name so tasteful that only having one tongue will induce madness. And the heart will express that, I want millions of tongues to attempt to catch all of this sweetness. So he's not telling us it's marginally more interesting than mundane sense. That's an insult. As we told the other day, Brahmando, and I think you said it was, you read that recently, maybe even today, Brahmando, Brahmanando Bhavedesha, oh, and the other one. It's around that time. Chet Parada Guni Krita Naiti Bhakti Sukhambodhe Paramanuta. Brahmananda, which is infinitely superior to mundane sense pleasure. If you multiply that a trillionfold, it's not equivalent to an atomic fraction of the pleasure of Krishna Bhakti. This comes from Rupa Goswami. Otherwise, we could say, can anyone believe that? Remember, one of the offenses of the holy name, too, is if we think what we hear is some sort of exaggeration, it's poetic description, it's hyperbole. It may be poetic, but real. It's real. And a qualified person, no less than Srila Rupa Goswami, who's Mahaprabhu's mouthpiece, Rupa Goswami is saying this. So, and the ears who are hearing that sound, one will want millions of ears. Right? And Guru Maharaj said, and to see the beautiful form of Krishna, one will want millions of eyes. It's telling about the magnitude of the beauty, charm, and sweetness of Krishna. And that it is not the outcome of mundane sense experience. So saying that is suppressed, and Adhoksaja comes down from that plane. Adhoksaja realm means subjective, super subjective. And the Aprakrita realm of Krishna, Goloka, means the super, super subjective realm. Because Vaikuntha, Guru Maharaj said beautifully, is the southern hemisphere of the spiritual world, the lower hemisphere. Aprakrita Leela of Goloka, and that makes it even more inconceivable. He brings down Aprakrita Leela to the earth planet, and Guru Maharaj's words, where the infinite is moving amongst the finite as if one of them. That makes these pastimes even more intense, as we can understand. In Goloka Vrindavan, there are no conditioned souls. Right? So the leela there, the play there, of a different quality. But coming here, and there's an actual mixing of various levels of conditioning or liberation, makes it even more interesting. And Srila Saraswati Thakur, Guru Maharaj, the opinion, a line of Jiva Goswami, because there are those that think like, Goloka is the original and Gokula is an extension of Goloka in this world. Krishna comes like that. But another opinion is, and is supported evidentiary from Garga Sangita, where when Radharani can understand Krishna's intention to bring his abode down into this world, and she says, I will only go if we bring all of this with the original, not a replica, a facsimile, or an extension. This very, we take everything with us, the original Jamun, all of it. And she repeats it twice to say, I'm firm. This is non-negotiable, Krishna. So that becomes even more extraordinary. Krishna brings his original abode into this world. And what remains is an extension. So Rupa Goswami is telling us that supersensuality is activated through devotion. The current of devotion awakens those senses, muktiradvanyata rupam swarupena vivastiti, the liberated senses. The other senses are suppressed. Raso varjam rasopyasya param drishva nivartate. This is hinted at in Bhagavad Gita. Higher taste. What is capable of? It's not the mundane mind. It's even generic Atma is beyond the range of the element of mind, intellect, and ego. Bhumir, apo, analo, vayu, kam, mano, buddhir, evita, ahankara. Then apareyam, itastanyam, prakritim, vidime, param. The Atma is above all of that. What to speak of the holy name of Krishna. That means the liberated senses. When it says, apani pado javanagrihita, no hands, no legs, no, it means no mundane hands, legs, eyes, etc. They say, sa aikshita, sa asridjita. Thing. He glanced over the material energy and there was creation. It's a very simple statement, but profound. What did he glance with? If eyes and such, they're just mundane. Saying he glanced over the material creation. With what? Another type of seeing. So that's what Rupa Goswami is saying. When the heart is infused with devotion, what we generally conceive of as our senses will be utterly inadequate. So it's not that tongue that's tasting, those ears that are hearing. That is our conclusion. He's talking about the super sensuous plane. And there the heart says, I want millions of tongues to taste the sweetness, millions of ears to capture the beauty of that sound, millions of eyes to drink the beauty of the form of Krishna. Hare Krishna. And then people say, like, so what is this that you belong to? Could you explain that? Is this some sort of religion? Is that a religious dress? Can you tell me what your beliefs are? Yes, ma'am. Our beliefs that God is so beautiful that two eyes are insufficient. One, if you see the beauty of God, you would want to have millions of eyes. Thank you. The holy name of the Lord is so sweet. One tongue is insufficient. One would want to have millions of tongues to taste that sweetness. And millions of ears that capture the beauty of that sound. Hare Krishna. Hari Harai Namo Krishna Yadavaya Namaha.
Hari Harai Namo Krishna Yadavaya Namaha.
Hari Haraye Nama Krishna Yadavaya Namaha. Yadavaya Madhavaya Kesavaya Namaha. Gopal Govinda Ram Sri Madhusudan. Giridhari Gopinath Madana Mohan. Sri Chaitanya Nityananda Sri Advaita Chandra. Gadadhara Sri Vasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jai Rupa Sanatan Bhatta Raguna. Sri Jiva Gopala Bhatta Dasa Raguna. Echai Gochai Kori Charana Bandhan. Jaha Hoite Vignanash Abhista Puran. Echai Gochai Dharmui Taro Das. Kansabada Padarenu Mora Panchagras. Kandera Charana Sevi Bhakta Sane Vas. Janame Janame More Iyabilas. Echai Gochai Jabe Braje Koilo Vas. Radha Krishna Nitya Leela Korilo Prakash. Anande Bolo Hari Bhaja Vrindavan. Sri Guru Vaishnava Pade Majayaman. Sri Guru Vaishnava Pad Padma Koriya. Hari Nam Sankirtan Koe Narottamadas. Hey Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Jai Om Vishnu Padmana Mahanda Parivraja Kacharjan Sutara Sattva Shri Srimaj Vilabhakti Sundar Govinda Dev Goswami Maharaj Ki Jai. Jai Om Vishnu Padmana Bhakti Rakak Sridhar Dev Goswami Maharaj Ki Jai.